All right, take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let me tell you a blessing. Last week I told you I got to win Brother Jimbo's brother to the Lord. And this is not meant to be a negative comment, but Jimbo's brother, just what you'd call a hard old redneck. And I don't mean that unkindly. I qualify, just so you know. But he was a tough old redneck, let me tell you. Brother Barnes and I were over yesterday to see him while we were out making some visits, and he told Loretta, he said, "My preacher was here today." I don't think those words have ever escaped that man's mouth in his life, I say my preacher, but he told me he planned on coming to church when he got out of the nursing home. And so Jimbo, you got to behave yourself if you bring him, because he said he's going to tell some stories about you. but that's just, isn't it amazing what Jesus can do in a man's heart, a man's life? It just amazes me. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, let's start reading in verse number 17. And we're going to read through verse 26 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 17 through 26. "Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion? This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all of his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit." And let's pray. Father, we sure need you today. Lord, I want to be a help to your people. I want to help us all. Lord, I don't know a better group of people. Lord, these are such wonderful folk. And Lord, you have a truth for us today that I believe could help and encourage them, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, tomorrow being Labor Day, you noticed a passage that was in reference to the word labor or work. God made man's body to work. Period. End of the discussion. He made woman's body to work. God made us to work. I have little use for this lazy welfare mentality of our world today. I believe in hard work. I really do. I believe in physical work. I believe in mental work. Not everybody's work is the same, but I believe everybody ought to work hard at what they do. An office worker works hard, and an office worker can work as hard as a construction worker can work. It's just different kinds of work. I believe ladies can work at home, and it's just as hard of work as it is for somebody that works a job elsewhere. Let me say this. I'm not trying to compare one kind of work to another kind of work. Let me say this. I believe Christians should be the best and the hardest workers on any job, though. If you're a Christian homemaker, I think your home ought to be the cleanest and best run house in the neighborhood. If you're a construction worker, I believe your work ought to be the hardest and the best worker on the job. Doesn't mean you know it all, but it means what you do, you ought to do hardest and best. Now, Don't get me wrong. I believe in hard work. Hard work is important, but being busy doesn't make you a hard worker. I know a lot of lazy people that can be busy, but they don't get anything done. Just because you're busy doesn't mean that you're a hard worker. I know people that work hard at not working. I know people that are busy at doing nothing. And that's a whole nother sermon. Don't go there right now. Why did you get me off trail already? But let me say something that may surprise you. There's more to life than work. There is more to life than work. You make a living working to pay your bills at work, but your life is made up of relationships, not work. Life is made of relationships, not work.
Yes, sir,
let me say that one more time. Life is made of relationships, not work.
Yes,
God tells us here in the Bible that a man can get out of focus with his life by focusing on work and not people. We read here in Ecclesiastes 2, I love how God words things. He says that it's vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, yea, I hated all my labor. He's an old man, says, everything that I worked hard for, he said, now I have to leave it to somebody else. And are they going to be wise with it or are they going to be foolish with it? And it really doesn't matter because I can't do anything about it because I'm not working to work anymore.
Right.
Do you know that whatever job you work right now, someday somebody else will work it? Not a job I ever had that somebody else isn't doing right now. Now, sometimes they hired more than one person to take my place, but others are doing the work that I have done. Say, are they good workers? Don't know. Didn't go back to find out. You see, someday, if the Lord tarries, this old body's going to give out, not soon. I don't plan on retiring. I plan on retreading. Amen. I want to be like the old preacher that preaches his last sermon, goes home and dies in bed or whatever. But I don't plan on retiring. I plan on going to the very cruel end. Amen. You're going to have to put up with me a long time. But someday, if the Lord tarries, some other man will stand behind this pulpit as pastor of this church, and I can do nothing about it. And by the way, don't judge somebody else's work based on who took over for them afterwards. Everybody doing okay? You wouldn't do that where you work in the secular world. Why is it fair to do that in Christianity? Never made sense to me that a man can build a great church and somebody takes over and the church starts going down and changing direction and they want to blame the guy who built the church to its greatest point. Why is it his fault? He's dead. He's not there. Don't blame him. Somebody else took over that wasn't wise. Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen. Now, God tells us here in the Bible that we can get out of focus. We can get so focused on our work that we think our work is our life. And your work is not your life. Your relationships are your life. God reminds us that we can and that we should be building a good work until we die. But when we die, we're leaving all that and your relationships continue for eternity. A dead man runs no business. Everybody doing okay? A nation is not led by a dead leader. there's no job site that has a dead man who's the boss. Now, there are people that act dead on the job site. I'm watching some of you guys' faces, and I know what you're thinking. Amen, Brother Harry? I wonder how many successful and rich people who have made a lot of money and a lot of fame died sad and lonely because they didn't have good relationships. A lot of people that had a lot of money, but they didn't have any relationships. What good was it? God wants us to work. By the way, I believe God wants us to enjoy our work and enjoy the fruit of our labor. Matter of fact, as we read in Ecclesiastes 2, God said, it's good for a man to work, to enjoy his work, and enjoy the fruit of his labor. It is a very good thing for us to do. By the way, that's why welfare people don't enjoy life. They're not working for it. It's all being given to them. I believe children ought to be taught to work. I don't believe they're slaves, but I think they ought to be taught how to work and work hard and enjoy it. Brother Provost, one day, he said, I told him I just, Brother Barnes and I had been cutting wood, and told him, I said, I just cut 2 cords of wood, got it home, and getting ready to split it all and stuff, and he said, aren't you getting a little old for that? He said, your boys aren't home anymore. I said, no. I said, I still enjoy doing it. I said, the day's coming where I probably won't. I understand that. I said, but when my children were home, I used it to teach my boys hard work.
That's right.
I used it to teach them, takes work to get it. You're going to sweat getting it. Amen, Malachi. You're going to sweat splitting it. Amen. And you're going to get blisters and bloodied and going to bust yourself up every once in a while. Then you're going to sweat again bringing it from after you stacked it, bringing it back into the house when it's 10 degrees outside. And then you're going to sweat again when we burn it. I said, I taught my boys a little bit about a work ethic and help paying the bills as children. My son's father-in-law. Man, I got that one all screwed up. That was like a West Virginia tree, amen. Who was it? Somebody sent me one this week. It said, my family tree has a deer stand in it. I like that one. But my son's father-in-law said, he said, Brother Bush, what you taught him worked. He said, that's the hardest working man I ever met. He said, I thought I had a good work ethic till your son showed up here. He said, that boy will work you to death. I said, yeah, he will. Just keep feeding him hay. He'll work. I said, he's used to it. Just feed him a bale of hay. He'll keep going. He said, he don't stop. And I'm glad to taught my boys how to work. Glad to taught my daughter how to work. My wife works, and she works hard at what she does, and taught our children to work hard. My children knew how to do their laundry when they left home. Say why? Because from the time they could walk, they were putting their dirty clothes in the laundry, helping Mama push the laundry basket down the hall or down the steps or sitting in it while she pulled them down the steps in it, and going to the laundry and then pulling clothes out, handing to her to put in. I remember sometimes they'd say, she'd pick them up by the feet and put them in the bottom of the washing machine and say, get all them out of there. Say, why? Could she do it and do it faster herself? Of course she could, but she had to teach those kids how to work. My children didn't need a dorm mommy to show them how to do their laundry when they got to college. Thank God. Thank God. Now, God wants us to work and enjoy it, and he wants to enjoy the spoils of our work, but he wants you to know that there's more to life than just work. Life is not work. Life is relationships. Let me say it this way. Life is relationships because only relationships are eternal. Work is not. Your work is temporary. Matter of fact, some of you have worked long enough, everything you did isn't there anymore. It's become obsolete. Right, Ellen? They got rid of pencils and erasers, and now you have things called computers. I believe in working and working hard. And by the way, but life is more than just that. You may be the hardest worker on the job, but how are your relationships in life? Ouch. Okay, that one hurt, didn't it? You may have the largest net worth in our church, which wouldn't take much. But let me ask you a question. How are your relationships? I know people with big bank accounts, but they have lousy relationships. The world says they're successful, and God says, what a total flop they are. Relationships are eternal. Work is not. Just so you know, I was up working way before 5 o'clock this morning. I'm not afraid of work. You're not talking to a lazy bones preacher here. I don't sit on my blessed assurance drinking coffee all day long. I believe in work and working hard, but I ought to be working at relationships. That's just as important. Let me give you three or four thoughts, and I promise this is not going to be a long sermon. It isn't intended to be a hard sermon, but if it is, then God was shooting at you. Amen? Number one, work is not to be our main focus in life. People in relationships are to be our main focus. Work is not to be your main focus in life. People in relationships are. Bob, I believe in working hard. And there's not many people in this room that got out of bed this morning before I and stayed out of bed. Okay? Some of you got up in the middle of the night to eat or do other things, but I got up and stayed up, all right? But wait a minute. If all I ever did, Bob, is work, never cared about you, never visited you in the hospital when you needed it, never helped your wife when she needed it, never went to the bedside of her daddy when she was dying, what good am I? You see, there's more to life than just hard work. There's relationships. There's more to life than many successful rich people have had lousy and multiple marriages. Case in point, Hollywood. They've made a lot of money. And they've worked hard, many of them. I'm not discrediting their work ethic. But how are their relationships? How about your sports players? Most of them a bunch of stinking whoremongers. I heard one sports player interviewed just this last week, and he was talking about he's had 12 children with 5 different people. And he was bragging about it. I thought, Lord have mercy. You think that's success? Lord have mercy. Miserable on relationships. You take some of the big business people of our world. They've made hundreds and millions and billions of dollars. But I know a lot of them that have almost no relationship with anybody. I'm going to make a statement here. Many of us men ought to write this one down or at least remember it. Work is competition. Relationships are not competitive. Work is competitive. Say, why does a man get so competitive? Because he's trying to be the best at what he does. But may I say this, if you're not careful, you're going to bring competition into your relationships. Do you know, I'm not trying to compete with this cute little lady right here. She's my wife. Why would I want to compete with her? She'll beat me. I mean, I have no desire to compete with my wife. I desire a great relationship with her. I desire to meet her needs. I desire to be what she needs me to be when she needs me to be something that I am not currently. But I'm not trying to compare myself to her. Life is far more than competition. If we're not careful, and by the way, I've counseled enough marriages. Most of the problem is somebody's trying to compete with the other. Say, what is the women's lib movement competition? A woman trying to compete in a man's world. That's what they call it. Can I tell you something? A lady ought to be glad she's a lady. A man ought to be glad he's a man. And we shouldn't have to teach our children you don't know what it is until you get there. And you can decide what it is at any time you want. Your birth certificate didn't say to be determined. Work is competition. Relationships are not competitive. Do not compete to be in relationships unless it's to be a better whatever you are. I'm not trying to make my wife a better wife. That's not my job. My job is to be the best husband I can be to her and meet her needs. That's my job. I'm not trying to say I'm more important, I'm better than she is. when the food's not on the table, she's more important than I am at that moment. If the clothes aren't clean and I haven't had time to wash them, and she does all of that, by the way, and I'm not afraid of it, and I help from time to time. I make them dirty, she makes them clean, amen? Called job security. No, I can tell I hit the note with a lot of you men on that one. Can I tell you something? My job is to be a help to her. The other day, I happened to be home, and she had a big old tub full of laundry. I said, can I take it down? Oh, I can get it. I know you can, but I'm here. Let me take it. So I grabbed it away from her. It's not that she can't do it. She's not too weak to do it. She does it all the time when I'm not there. Obviously, it gets done. It's not that she can't, but I'd like to be a good husband and help. I'm not trying to compete. Men tend to bring work or the work mindset home, and you try to run your house like you run the job site. Can I tell you something? Bad idea. Your wife is not your coworker. You yell at her like you do the guys on the job, it's going to be a long, hard night. Everybody doing all right? I'm not looking at anybody. But can I... this is getting... All right, here we go. I can't look anywhere in the... I'm going to preach at the ceiling today. Can I tell you something? We got to be careful. You've heard me say, my wife is not my assistant pastor. By the way, my wife isn't my secretary. My wife finds things out in church like you find things out in church. If I've counseled you and you've had a problem, my wife doesn't know about it. I've had people in this church say, come up to my wife and say, I'm sure your husband's told you. You think she's lying when she says, no, he hadn't, because I haven't. She's not to carry my load. That's my load to carry, not her load to carry. Her job is to keep me going so I can carry the load. Some of you men are rockheads. You bring home all of the woes of work. You talk about how bad the day was, how stupid somebody was, how much of an idiot somebody was, and you start treating your wife and your children the same way. Can I tell you something? They weren't on the job. They weren't doing it. Why are you taking it out on them? Okay, going on. Let's get moving here before it hurts worse. Can I tell you something? Leave your work at work and don't run your home like work. Quit talking about work at home. I think one of the most dangerous things, and I'm not saying it can't be done, but working at home, be careful. You're going to kill your family. You're going to get in work mode while everybody's around you, and you're going to stomp on them, and you wonder why they're all in tears, and bless God, I was just working. I didn't mean anything by it. You didn't, but everybody else thought so. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Your work and success should be so that you can better meet the needs of the ones you love. My wife will tell you this. In all the years as an assistant pastor or pastor of a church, I didn't take work home while my children were home and work on it while my children were awake. When I was home, I was daddy. Now, there were times, many times, lots of times, the phone would ring. I'd have to leave the house to go make a visit or see somebody in the hospital or be with somebody as they died. But if it could be delayed a while, if it was something that didn't need my immediate attention, it waited. I know people don't always say, you know, hold off for 3 hours to die. I got to do something with my boys, all right? It doesn't work that way. I understand. But most of the time, I took a briefcase home every day, but my kids never saw me open it up. Never. One day, my boys were teenagers, and one of my boys, I don't honestly remember, said, Dad, you take it home all the time. Do you ever do anything in that thing? I said, yeah, just not while you're awake. Why do you bring it home then? I said, because I'm going to work on it after you've been in bed. But while I'm home, I'm going to be Dad. I love that. I love that. Your work and your success should be so that you can better meet the needs of the ones you love, not so that you can have the most toys.
Right.
Not so you can have the best life of everybody that you're comparing yourself to. Your work ought to be so that you can love the people in your household and the people that you love and make that part of your life the best it can be. Go ahead and get mad at me, but I watch people buy houses that cost, you know, and if your house is worth this and you can afford it, it's fine, but you go spend $500,000 on a house and husband has to work full time, wife has to work full time, kids are being brought up by babysitters. What good was it to have that big a house? If you're never there to enjoy the people in it, what good was it?
Amen.
Success and work destroys more people because they often focus on the work and the success and not the people. Everybody doing all right? Work is not to be our main focus in life. People and relationships are. Number two. Okay, it's getting easier. Hang on. Gotta open the wound with the knife, and now we gotta sew it back up, all right? Number two, good workers have the potential for better relationships, but it's not a guarantee. Good workers have a better potential for good relationships, but just because you're a good worker doesn't guarantee you will. You know, there is good character learned by being a good worker, learning to show up on time, learning to do what you're told to do and how you're told to do it. I call it following the rules. Learning to get along with other workers.
Yes.
Learning to be diligent. Learning to endure. There's many good character qualities learned by being a good worker. But watch this. Just because you're a good worker, though, does not guarantee that you're going to have good relationships. People get close by working, not by playing. Brother Harry, you and I are fairly close. I don't think we've ever played anything together. Brother Jimbo, I'm not sure. Good night, you're like an older dad. I mean, an older brother to me. I love that man. I'm not sure, Brother Jimbo, you and I have ever played anything. I don't remember it. Brother Stoltz, you and I have known each other too long. 30 plus years. We've done a few things of fellowship together. We went to a ball game a time or two. But actually just getting together to play, I hadn't done it. Brother Mike, you and I just didn't go out one night and have a play night. But I'm as close to him as I am a brother. Brother Barnes, where you at? There you are. I'm sure Brother Barnes and I have played something somewhere down the road. Most time he and I are together, we're working, cutting wood or throwing wood or clearing brush or doing something. Can I tell you what? You get close to people by working with them, not necessarily by playing. I'm for teenagers having youth activities. I think it's an important part of life. I think you ought to enjoy your teen years. And I think we ought to teach our young people to work, but I don't think that they ought to be taking on full-time jobs when they're 16 years old. They need to learn how to play a little bit, not just work. Because work comes and the play's over. But I also believe they need to learn how to work so that when the work does come, they're able to handle it. I'm going to make a statement here. People get close by working, not by playing. That's why it's very important where your teenager gets their jobs, because they're going to get close to the people they work with. You take them down to McDonald's with a bunch of maggot-infested, drug-addicted idiots, a bunch of whoremongers, and you wonder why Christian teenagers end up the way they end up. Be careful who they work with. I'm glad when my boys were 13, 14 years old. I said, hey, Brother Mike, got any hard work for a boy to do? You got a weed whacker and about 10 acres. I don't know how many acres it was, but my boys would come home dead from weed whacking for about 10, 12 hours. I loved every second of it. By the way, my boys are grown men. They still call him for advice. You say, why? Because he taught them something about work, and they got close because of that. I believe in hard work. You ought to be careful who their work influences are, because they're going to get close to the people they work with. Everybody doing all right? Look at the wickedness of the workplace relationships. How many women work in an office, and they got people hitting on them all day long? And I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about the wrong way. If you're working in a place where somebody's doing that to you, I would suggest find another job or come see me. I'll show you how to handle it. It's three words, Smith and Wesson, right? Did I say that right, Brother Harry? He was thinking it. We were getting that one by osmosis. You know, work should teach you teamwork, not me, myself, and I. Working teaches you teamwork. If you're not working in a team situation, you're cheating yourself in life. I promise you, I'm a pretty good team player. I mean that. There are times I've been on jobs where, Brother Mike, you've led. Brother Barnes, there's times you've led. Jimbo, there's been times I've followed you. I didn't follow Fred. But good night. I've been on jobs with some of you men. And I have no problem being the follower at that moment because you're the expert in it. I'm going to tell you a story. My dad and I, let me rephrase that, my dad, we went out this week on Thursday and put a couple hours in redoing the mower a little bit and taking the deck off and adjusting it. We didn't actually take it all the way off, but adjusted it. Then we had to get the blades off and sharpen them things, because they were about as sharp as my finger. And they really needed sharpened badly. You say, what'd you do? Whatever he told me to do. I don't know the first thing about that mess. Matter of fact, I said, well, Dad, he said, well, we might need to drop this thing. Well, it's got a little thing on there. You pull it, and one side, boom, he said, I didn't say pull it. So he said, you got to drop the deck. I did my side. Good night. Tell me before you do that. Yes, sir. No problem. And we got them puppies off. Sharpened them up, got them put back on. I jumped on it, see how it was going to do. I took one lap down about where we had the tent for the last meeting we had, come up that little hill, and all of a sudden I heard one of them blades start going, tick, 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 tick. Say, what'd you do? I killed that thing. And the next words I heard, what'd you do? I said, something's coming loose. I said, I don't know what it is, but something's coming loose. So he starts it back up. I said, I wouldn't do that. And he's standing right by the spout. I said, I wouldn't stand there. I said, I want to jump off this thing, but I figured it wasn't going to go straight up. I was safe where I was at. He starts to engage that thing real slow, and it starts spinning just a little bit and starts going, ta, 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 ta. He pulled it back, and he said, we didn't get that thing tight. I got off of it and made him drive it up to the shed to work on it. I wasn't staying on that thing. Say, what'd you do? We tightened it back up, got it put just right. And I said, you get on it and drive it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to wait and make sure. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't take lead on the job. Well, I'm the pastor. Yeah, but you're looking at a pastor who doesn't know the first thing about fixing that mess. Why should I try to lead something I have no business leading? Because the whole thing would have blown up had I done it. We'd have been shooting the neighbor's house with mower blades or something, you know. It's just not going to happen. You see, work should be teamwork. Don't focus just on your part of the work. Isn't it amazing? Everybody listen to me. You all know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been to the guy that just started the job 2 weeks ago? And he already knows how to run the company better than the guy that owns it. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? The little twit that works at McDonald's that waits for the French fryer to go beep, 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 knows more about the McDonald's Corporation than the people that run it. They can't even get the beeper off in time
to keep everybody in the restaurant from being annoyed. But they deserve $15 an hour. No, it's not fair that the people that run this place make more money than I. I'll tell you what, dude. You go build your own restaurant chain. You go buy all the restaurant equipment. You go buy all of the insurance. You go hire all the employees. You go buy all the product and then complain about how much money you don't have. Until then, keep your mouth shut. Everybody doing all right? You see, you got to learn how to be a team player. Your part of the job isn't the whole job. But isn't it amazing we think our part of the job is the only important part of the job? I realize every person in our church has an important job. Whether it's driving the bus, being the bus captain, being a bus worker, whether it's the secretary, whether it's the folks that help with Sunday school and teaching Sunday school classes, and God bless you ladies that work in the nursery, that may be the most important job because I'm not changing any diaper. Period. End of discussion. If it says good up to 15 pounds, they can wait a little longer. Amen. Just forget it. I'm not doing it. I didn't change my own kids. I'm not changing yours. End of discussion. Jeff and Savannah had their baby this week on Wednesday, I believe, or Tuesday morning. 8 pounds, 11 ounces. I got to the hospital on Wednesday, and I was holding that little boy in my arms. And I said, you know, I got to be here for all four of your kids. Savannah says, you're going to have to be somewhere else for another one because I'm done. We ain't having no more, preacher. And I said, aren't they sweet like this? She said, yeah, then they grow up. She said, been through this enough. They're growing up and they're still fun, but not this stage is fun. That's it. I said, yeah, it's real fun for me because I can give him back to you when he starts crying or does something else. And I don't have to take it home. I said, I'm really enjoying this part of things. Wait a minute. Be a team player. Work keeps going, even your part, even if you're not a part of it. You know that when you quit, somebody else takes your place? The more people with whom you labor, the more people that you'll be close to. Do you know who the people are that feel close in our church? The people that work with other people in the church, at church? Isn't it amazing? People that say, well, your church isn't very friendly. If you can't find friendliness at this church, you're dead. Well, nobody wants to be close. I don't know where you're going to church, but it's not here. Trouble is you don't want to do anything. Ouch. Okay, I'm moving on. Point number three. Number one, work is not to be the main focus of life. People and relationships are. Number two, good workers have the potential for better relationships, but it's not a guarantee. Number three, works cannot get anyone and never has gotten anyone to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You don't get saved by the works of the law. If you were here Wednesday night, I taught something that it could revolutionize your life. Isn't it amazing? The world says, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were not given as a way to heaven. They were given as civil law, like a constitution for man to get along with man. It had nothing to do with going to heaven. Right. It was God giving the Jews an organizational structure, a constitution, a government for 2.5 to 4 million people in the wilderness so they didn't kill each other. Had nothing to do with going to heaven. That's why our forefather posted it in the government buildings and in the courthouses and in the justice system, because it had to do with civil law, not spiritual law. By the way, Christians make better citizens. People that believe in righteousness maketh better citizens. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any thereof.
So salvation is not by works. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, that when we get saved, we enter a relationship. He becomes our Father. And Jesus Christ, we become the sons of God. That is a relationship. And we have an inheritance with our Father, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That is a relationship. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you something? That's a relationship. You're not calling on a position. You're calling on a person for salvation.
Yes.
I walked into Buck's room yesterday, Loretta, and I said, Buck, last week you and I talked. I said, let me ask you a question, Doc. I said, if you died today, where are you going? He said, heaven. I said, are you sure? He said, I did what the Bible said. He said, why wouldn't I? He said, isn't that what God said? I said, sure is. I was just making sure you understood it. He said, I got it. I said, yes, you did. Isn't that great? See, what is that? A relationship. It wasn't in El Papa either. It wasn't in the doing of the cross and lighting a candle and crawling up a hill of glass and rocks. It was a relationship with Jesus Christ. By the way, our job as Christians is to go out there and share that relationship and get others into the family. That's called soul winning. That's called being at church. That's called a walk with God, reading your Bible and praying and having a personal relationship with God. Oh, the Christian life is just so boring, Brother Stoltz. I'll tell you why it's boring, because you're focused on works and not a relationship. Never met anybody in love that thought love was boring. Let me say that again. Never met anybody in love that thought love was boring. When you say, oh, it's boring, you're just showing that you don't know how to love and you don't have a relationship. Number four, and I'm done. Sure is getting hot in here right now. God's works are unreachable and uncomprehendable. Take your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, same book of the Bible. I want to show you a verse that just recently jumped out at me and actually sparked this whole sermon. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, look at verse number 17. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet shall he not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet he shall not be able to find it. God's work is uncomprehendable to our finite brain. If you went through Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that God looked over all the work that he had made. Think about what it would take to spin the earth at 24,000 miles an hour, keep it in place, and rotate 365 and one quarter times as it's going around the sun, keeping it at the same distance every time so that one part didn't burn up and the other part didn't freeze. Think about the fact that God put a liquid, hot, molten metal core to our earth so that it could magnetize the earth, give us gravity, and keep us from flinging off this thing like a merry-go-round. Did y'all ever do that when you were a kid? Get all your friends on the merry-go-round, and two or three of you start pushing that thing, see how long they could hang on. You know, you got guys hanging on, and their feet are going, and they can't hang on anymore. Imagine flinging around at 24,000 miles an hour. That's what you're doing. And yet there's enough gravity to hold you here. Not 24,000 miles an hour, 1,000 miles an hour. I was wrong. Fix my calculation. My secretary was rubbing her chin thinking he didn't say that, right? You're right, I didn't. We're slinging, though, at 1,000 miles an hour. every moment of every day 1,000 miles an hour. And yet you're not spinning off into space. And God put that metal core there, magnetized it, and kept it so that everything holds itself together. Not only that, he tilted it just enough. Have you ever ridden your bike, and when you first started riding your bike, you didn't realize you had to lean when you turned? And all of a sudden you decided you're going to make a 90 degree turn, and you didn't lean? What happened? You went right over the edge of it. You wrecked it. God tilted the rotation of the earth and the earth itself, because as we go around the sun, it's like a, like a NASCAR racetrack. It's banked. And you have high banking. And when the top of the earth is above the sun, that's when the bottom is hotter. That's wintertime. When we're at the low end of it, that's when the bottom of the earth is lower than the sun, and the top of the earth is getting more direct rays. That's summer. The ends of the racetrack are summer and winter. The straightaways are spring and fall. That's why when you go into a seasonal change, those of you that have arthritis, in the next week or two, you're going to start feeling it because you're going to get ready to go into fall. And the gravitational pull is greater because you're going into one of those banks, and the gravity's pushing just a little harder. God knew what he's doing. God saw that all the work was good. God makes that sun to come up every day and go down every night. The tides are very predictable. He put just enough oxygen in our environment and enough plants to eat up the carbon dioxide and to keep creating pure air for us to breathe. Amen. He made it to where every drop of water that was on the earth 7,000 years ago is still here today. Okay. You know, there's not one more or one less drop of water anywhere on the earth than there was when it was created. We're never going to have clean water. All the water is going to evaporate. Yeah, and it comes down as rain somewhere else. Well, what happens if I drink it? It does come back, just so you know. I'll let you do the calculations, how it works. But then it gets cleaned and filtered and used again. Every drop of water is captured. You see, God's work and God's creation. Look at the birth of a child. Look at the miracle of life itself. I was holding that little baby in my arms thinking, I don't know how God does that. And there ain't no way any man would ever birth one of them puppies. And God knows he had to dismember something in a woman's brain to want to do it more than once. Because no man in his right mind would ever put himself through that twice. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's just not going to happen. Look how your heart beats and you never think about it. Look how you breathe and you really never think about it till you can't. Look at the heavens and the eternity, and look at how that... For thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, man has been able to navigate all over the earth, land and sea, get around, and know his way all the way around the earth and can get back to where he came from. Yeah. And that was before GPS. Can I tell you something? God's works are amazing. Amen. But you'll never get to heaven by working. I believe in working and working hard, but don't let life be your major work. Let relationships be your major work. Let me ask you a question. How hard are you working in the relationships of your life? I'm not saying that you're a bad person, but how are the relationships in your life? Do you work at the relationship of your life? I fail in a lot of ways. But I promise you one thing. This preacher works pretty hard at relationships. Pretty hard. I try to be a good son. I don't accomplish it like I should. I try to be a good dad. I probably fail at that more than anything, other than being a husband. But I promise you this, I love my wife. I love my mom and dad. I love my kids. I love my church. I love the people in this church. I love trying to be an encouragement to you. I love getting texting back and forth with you. And by the way, I hate cell phones, but I learned how to use it to stay close to people and to touch their lives. Say, what is that so I can say I love you? Sometimes I don't use those words in order to be appropriate. You know, fellas, I don't text your wife and say, oh, I love you. I don't say that. But may I say something? I've learned how to love every person in this room because of that. And by doing different things. I remember the day that you were in the hospital last year. Last November. I had to tell Harry, I said, Brother Harry, I love you. Miss Kathy, we love you. But you ain't getting out of that bed. You need surgery before you get out of that bed. Don't you get out of that bed. That wasn't something easy. Matter of fact, my wife will tell you, I hadn't gotten out of the parking garage and I began to weep. She said, what's the matter? I said, it's the hardest thing I ever had to tell anybody. I said, they don't know what they're really in store for yet. I said, they haven't had a chance to call their kids and consult with them. I said, but I had to do that. I said, honey, Harry will die. I know it. Had surgery the next morning. I told him I'd drive back down. They said, no, just call, preacher. It was opening day deer season. I remember that. I was with my dad that morning. We were at the farm. I said, Dad, you go on out to your stand. I'm going to wait here. I'm going to call Harry in about 10 or 15 minutes. And my phone rang and it was Harry. He said, preacher, we're going early. Can you pray? Yes, sir. I prayed with him. I went and sat in my deer stand that day and prayed all morning for you. I promise you, had he waited another 24 hours, I may have had to do his funeral. But I loved him enough to tell him the truth. I didn't want to face your kids. I told my wife, I said, his kids are going to hate me worse. They already don't trust preachers, but I said, I had to risk it because I saw what the scan was. And I said, somebody had to tell him the truth because the doctor didn't. Oh, you go home, come back after Thanksgiving in a box. I'll never forget Christmas and your daughter sent my wife and I a gift. Sweet, sweet letter. Talk to your son. I apologized to him. Great big old grizzly bear he is. He reached over and hugged me. Whew. I scared death. I offended him. But I did it because I loved you. Can I tell you something? Isn't that what love is? It's relationship. Who cares how many hours I put in that day? Nobody. How about the relationship? How about it? There's more to work, or more to life than work. There's relationship. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher? Somewhere in that sermon, God tagged my heart. And I needed that. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Dozens of hands are in the air.